Winter is a great time to work through a reading list, especially if your New Year's resolution involves more time for books. We'll take some of the work for you out of searching for a great read by taking some time to talk about 2018's best fiction.
And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Have you enjoyed some new fiction this year? And if you didn't have a chance to read it, you can still share a book you're looking forward to reading. Share what's on your reading list. Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page.
Daniel Golden joins us now in the studio to talk about his top picks for the best fiction of the last year. He's the owner of Boswell Book Company in Milwaukee. Daniel, good to have you back with us.
Well, thank you for having me.
Now, here's my problem. We're talking about new fiction. And I read a lot of nonfiction, too. I got a bunch of books at home I want to read. I've got my holds at the library. I've got books I want to buy. I just can't keep up. You're in the business. Do you feel overwhelmed?
Oh, completely. And as do all our customers, if you don't have a pile of books by your bedside, then you're not really doing your job as a bookseller or a reader. So it is hard. And sometimes I have to challenge myself to keep on task because people do want to know what booksellers are reading and what we think of things. So
that's a great segue because I was going to ask you, and just starting with you, what were some of your favorite books in 2018 that you read?
Well, I have to say it's hard to come up with what your favorite book was, but we are obligated to do it. And so I thought long and hard about it. I thought about all the books and what it means. Like, everybody has a different reason. I like a book that has wonderful plots and characters and is well written, but I also have a thing for something that gives me some emotional heft. So there are some books that I really admired this year, but I didn't fall in love with them. And that doesn't mean that they're happy endings or romances. It just means I took them very personally. So I decided in the end my favorite book was a book called The Great Believers by Rebecca Mackay, set in Chicago in the 1980s in contemporary Paris, about two art exhibitions. A lot of people said it's sort of the first book about AIDS to kind of have a sweep of time. It's also one of the first books not to be set in New York, San Francisco, or London.
Now, tell us a little more about that. You've got, by the way, I should give a visual. You brought a stack of all your top 10 books, or most of them anyway. Yeah, it's teetering precariously next to me here. If I'm injured, we'll know why. Tell us a little more about that top pick of the year.
Well, I will say that one of the things that's been nice about the book is it has some momentum on its own. It's showing up on a lot of best of lists. It was on Entertainment Weekly's top 10. It was on the New York Times top 10 for the year. Publishers Lunch, which is a trade magazine, took 58 best of lists and compiled them into one best of list. The best of lists are exploding because people post them online for clicks, mm-hmm. Needless to say.
People love lists,
and they do really well. So everyone and, you know, Farming Monthly Vermont has their top 10 books of the year somewhere online. So that was one. Last year, I loved a book that nobody seemed to love except me, and that was sort of like bicycling in a really windy day where you don't get anywhere. It was called, I will give it a plug for it,
sure.
It's called Lonesome Lies Before Us by Don Lee, and it's still in hardcover. It didn't go out in paperback. So, like I said, Paris by the Book. And I also, you get, in a bookstore, you get a lot of response from customers, what they like. And it's so much fun when you recommend a book and people come back to you and say, oh my gosh, I love that book.
Nice.
I hugged that book. It was amazing. I want 10 copies for other people, or I told 10 people to get it from the library, whatever. Anything works. And that's a book that's resonated with a lot of people. So that's been really nice.
Have you been seeing any changes or any trends in the publishing industry as far as what type of fiction that we're seeing more of? And will that continue?
Oh, sure. There's always trends. And I would say some things are fads and some things are trends. So one thing that's been really great is a lot of underrepresented groups have much more access to publication. And that's really been represented well with more Black, Latino, Asian writers. Possibly the best reviewed book of 2018 was a book, an amazing book called They're There by Tommy Orange. It did not. It did show up as the number one book of the compilations, and showed up on a lot of top 10 lists. It's a Native American writer, and there just really haven't been a lot of young Native American writers being published by the big houses with some aggressiveness in fiction. In poetry, yes, but not in fiction. And I'm really hoping that that book really opens the doors to a lot of other Indigenous writers. It's set in Oakland, and it's about an urban powwow. And it's a lot of different characters. Let me just say, it like starts off like with a punch in the face, but you just can't stop going. And it's a little open-ended. So for people who are a little like a pat ending or want to know what happened to everybody at the end, I'm just giving you a little warning. But amazing.
We're talking to Daniel Golden from Boswell Book Company in Milwaukee, looking at some of the best fiction of 2018. We invited you to weigh in on Facebook. Kevin picked two books, Asymmetry by Lisa Halliday and the book you were just talking about, They're There by Tommy Orange. Now, we've got a couple, Daniel, Wisconsin authors on your list as well. I don't want to miss those. Let's talk about Lucy Tan and What We Were Promised.
The two books go together.
Okay,
so
talk about both.
I'm going to start with Chloe Benjamin's The Immortalist, one of the best, a surprise bestseller, second novel, Madison writer. I have a very emotional connection because I got to read the book very early and fell in love with it and helped tell other people who told other people who told other people, wound up a New York Times bestseller, and also was top 10 of the year on Entertainment Weekly. It's about four kids, siblings, who go to a fortune teller and find out when they're going to die.
Ooh.
Terrific book coming out in paperback pretty soon. And from Chloe Benjamin, I learned about Lucy Tan's What We Were Promised. It's a first novel. It was definitely acquired. It's my sleeper on the list. It probably made some best of lists, but I didn't find them. Mm-hmm. It's set in contemporary Shanghai, and it's about a couple who are born in China, move to the United States where they're educated and get good jobs. The husband comes back to run a business, and the wife doesn't really have a job. She's sort of, they call her in China, a housewife without any housework to do. And his long-lost brother is on his way to visit, and of course, his wife and the brother have a little secret relationship. The story is told through the husband, the wife, and the maid. And the thing about the story is, of course, the maid and the husband and wife, it's just luck of circumstances that one is in one place and one is in the other. It's a heartbreaking, warm, funny book, and I'm just really excited to know about it. So,
we had another Facebook commentator mention some books that they had read and enjoyed, and there's also one on your list as well. Leslie wrote that she liked Florida by Lauren Groff, You'll Think It, I'll Say It stories by Curtis Sittenfeld, and My Sister, the Serial Killer by Oyinka Braithwaite, which actually made your list. And then also My Sister, the Serial Killer made your list too. Why'd you like that?
Well, you were asking about trends, and I have a trend for you.
Okay.
And they are these little, this goes in and out of fashion, but it's really hot right now to publish these little tiny books, small trim size. In many cases, they're just short stories or essays. So you had George Saunders published one. Stephen King published one. Khaled Hosseini published one. David Graham did a nonfiction one, which was just an essay. Mm-hmm. So this is the way My Sister, the Serial Killer. It's a cute little package filled with murder. And what I really love about the book is that it has that sort of sociopath quality, but yet it's blended to a lot of traditional Nigerian storytelling in this style. The author, who you did a great job of pronouncing her name, thank you very much for doing that, is a student of Abay Adebayo, and I really apologize, but she had a book called Stay With Me a couple of years ago that was also a big hit here. So I love that customer because she would come in and I would have like three or four other books to recommend to her. Florida is showing up on a lot of best of lists and has definitely made the top 10. I don't know why I didn't read it. I read some short story collections, but I didn't get to it. But I was a huge fan of Fates and Furies, her last novel. And I also love Curtin Sittenfeld. So what? She has great taste.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Darrell Conner. Right now, we're talking with Daniel Golden, owner of Boswell Book Company in Milwaukee, about his top 10 fiction titles from 2018.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. What's a book you really enjoyed in 2018, new or again, new to you? Are there some new books you had a chance to read? What's on your list, or do you need a recommendation? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. By the way, we're going to have Daniel's list up at WPR.org. To your calls now. Jessica is with us in Ashland. Jessica, do you have a book for us?
I do. It's by one of my favorite authors, Louise Erdrich, and this was actually published in 2017, but it's Future Home of the Living God, and very interesting story set in northern Minnesota, so kind of feels close to home as I'm reading it.
Jessica, thanks. My wife is a big fan of Louise Erdrich. I still haven't read any. Should I, Daniel?
Yes, I'm not sure. Well, actually, and Future Home of the Living God is a perfect book for you because it's speculative.
And I do like my science fiction.
Right, so this is a way you can please your wife and yourself at the same time.
Woohoo! thank you so much for the suggestion, Jessica. Appreciate it.
Let's talk about the book that you sold the most at Boswell Books. Paris by the Book by Liam Callahan. What was it about that book that was so popular at your store?
You know, it is funny. I feel like it's a book that we took nine years to set up to sell, because when I first opened the store in 2009, one of the first people I met was Liam Callahan, who was actually running the creative writing program at UWM at the time. And he said, "I'm so excited about this bookstore. Let's do a whole bunch of stuff, and poetry busts and student readings." And we came up with we have a graduate student reading once a year, but we also have undergraduate readings that has grown to like eight different schools in the Milwaukee area have picked their kids to read. And he just brought in authors to interview. And then he told me the book was coming, and it was set in a bookstore, and it was set in a Paris bookstore. I was like, holy, that blows the mind of many, many, many people. Because it's sort of, we have this joke that you put the Eiffel Tower on anything and it sells better. It's sort of like the Portlandia bird. And so we were ready. And then the book just turned out to have all these followers and people were loving it. And in some ways, because the book is sort of about nostalgia, but the way normally Americans have nostalgia for Paris, this is a family in Paris with nostalgia for Wisconsin. So it's in a way, it's very much a Wisconsin novel, and even specifically a Milwaukee novel. But at one point, the couple at the center of the book go throughout Europe by traveling to all the cities in Wisconsin that have European names. So that's what happens. The husband disappears. The wife and her daughters go off to Paris, where they take over this bookstore and try to find the husband. It's sort of it's inspiration sort of Madeleine, the old Madeleine story, and also the red balloon, which many people saw in elementary school, the black and white version. Those are two visions of Paris, sort of the adventurous vision and the gritty version. It's romantic, and it's a lovely book that sort of captures why people love books. And let me just say, bookstore books do really well in bookstores.
Let's go to another caller now. Janine is with us in Eau Claire. How can we help you out, Janine?
Hi, I'm looking for a recommendation, please.
All right.
I have been reading and reading, looking for someone I connect to the way I did the gal Elizabeth Salander in the Millennium series.
Elizabeth Salander. So did you read Children of Blood and Bone?
No.
That's the hot YA fantasy book from this year. People just love it. It showed up. 800 booksellers are on this Publishers Weekly Facebook page where they pick their favorite books of the year. And I think it showed up number five.
Wow.
So I would say, Salander, this is the book for you. You need to stop what you're doing and run to a library or something and get one, or a bookstore.
All right. Go. Stop listening, Janine. Children of Blood and Bone is the title?
Yes.
Okay.
It's all downhill from here.
Let's go to another call. Let's go to Debbie in New Berlin. Good afternoon, Debbie. Welcome to Central Time.
Hi. Hey, Daniel.
Hi.
Hey.
Nice to hear from you.
Yeah, I know. You know who I am, right?
Yes, he does.
Yes, I do.
What do you got for us, Debbie?
Well, I just wanted to say, if Daniel had read Washington Black, I just finished that, and it was really one of the best books I've ever read.
Oh, I know. I've heard so much good things. It showed up on almost every top 10 list. I think it was like number five on the top 10s of top 10s. Won the Giller Prize, which I love Canadian writers, so I'm really excited about that. But I was going to read it at the end of the year, and my sales rep said, no, 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 I want you to lead a book club in it, so save it for when it comes out in paperback. So, but what he doesn't know is his story led to a few more minutes on the book. So it is, you want to tell a little about what you loved about it.
Well, I just thought, I really am drawn to long kind of epic books about like a sort of at least half the lifespan of an individual, and it follows this young slave boy, and he basically is freed by the master dies, and then the master's brother takes him and basically frees him. Such talent in the young man that he becomes this gentleman's assistant, and he's an abolitionist, but he's also a scientist, and he becomes this gentleman's assistant, and he just turns out to be a genius, and he nurtures this young man and basically helps him find freedom, and then they lose touch, and then they find one another kind of along the way later in life, and it's just a really, really well done, descriptive, really interesting book that.
It's one of those big fat novels that you just can't stop.
So if you're into it, you're set for a while.
That's right. This is not a one night. Well, it could be a special person's one night.
Wow. Now I want to get back to your list, Daniel. We're talking, by the way, to Daniel Golden, Boswell Books in Milwaukee, looking at some of his best fiction of 2018. Another one, The Maze at Windermere by Gregory Blake Smith. I saw the cover of this one, and I recall liking the cover, but I didn't open it. Tell us about this one. It's on your list.
The cover is excellent. I have to agree.
If we're judging books by covers.
I love books that jump around in time, but that focus on a place. So one of the big books this year was Barbara Kingsolver's Unsheltered, for example, and that was set in Vineland, New Jersey in contemporary times, and then in the 1880s when it was a utopian community. Well, but for people who think that jumping around in two periods of time is not enough, The Maze at Windermere is set in five different periods, all in the same part of Newport, Rhode Island, and many times in the same estate. So the contemporary story is about this ne'er-do-well pro-tennis player who falls in love with this heiress, and he's struggling financially. She is very wealthy, and all well and good, except some people think he might be marrying her for her money because she has cerebral palsy. So as it jumps back in time, you see all the themes that play out in the Gilded Age, in the Revolutionary War, in the Civil War, and in colonial times. And it's very playful. So, for example, in the contemporary story, people are reading Henry James, and in the Civil War story, Henry James is a character because he lived in Newport. There's so many things that we don't know about Newport as a center for the South during they would vacation there and bring their slaves, even though the North was a free state. Antisemitism, sexuality. I actually learned about this book. It was recommended to me by the novelist Jane Hamilton. She has amazing taste, and I basically listen to whatever she tells me to do. And so, big fan. I just want to say one of my books, Educated, is a memoir, and some people say that's not fiction, but if you're European, memoirs are fiction.
Huh.
That's the way I did that there. Throw that into the
okay. Another Facebook commentator shared a book that he liked named James. He said the book Hope Never Dies by Andrew Schaefer. It's a mystery thriller starring former Vice President Joe Biden and President Barack Obama. And James hopes that there would be a follow-up book to that. Are you familiar with that?
Yes. Oh, it's been a big hit. And yes, there is a second book coming, James. So get excited.
Wow.
And I've heard wonderful things. I didn't read it yet, but I would like to, and I've heard wonderful things about it.
All right, I got to read this. A listener tweets, N.K. Jemisin's The Fifth Season.
Oh.
Last book of the trilogy. I read it in 2018. I checked. It came out in 2017. This is my slam. I'm reading everything I can by N.K. Jemisin. My slam dunk recommendation for people who like science fiction with great characters, great setting, a lot going on. I love this one. So thanks to the listener who tweeted
I was going to recommend it to you.
Okay, too late.
You already read them.
I'm there.
What books are you looking forward to reading this year?
Well, I one of the things that's crazy is I, of course, read a little ahead. And so I've already read some books that I was really excited about. I really love the Nick Petrie series, The Drifter, set in Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. The fourth book is set in Memphis, and it's called Tear It Down. That's coming out in a couple of weeks. I'm really excited about that. I read a book that there was a lot of buzz on by a guy named Christopher Castellani. I've read him in the past. He's written books about the Italian history in Wilmington, Delaware, but this is sort of about artists in Italy in the 1950s, and it's really, I'm trying to compare, I don't remember who I'm comparing it to because I didn't think about that.
Hey, one more book. We just have a minute. Let's sneak one more book in from your current list. 30 seconds on The Overstory by Richard Powers.
Oh my gosh. Oh, well, that is actually our best-selling novel that we did not have an event for.
Okay.
And Richard Powers has been writing. This is his 12th book. He's been writing forever. He's a writer's writer. And this book just exploded. It's 5 interconnected narratives with 9 characters, I think. And they're all connected by trees. If you like the book, The Hidden Life of Trees, this is the novel form, including one of the characters is sort of the fake author of that book.
That sounds fantastic. That would look good to me. Daniel, thanks so much. It's always a lot of fun to talk to you about books.
Thank you.
Or anything, whatever. That's Daniel Golden, owner of Boswell Books in Milwaukee. He joined us to talk about his picks for best fiction from 2018. Hey, there's still time for you to share your favorites. Tweet us at Central Time WPR or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We're going to have a list at WPR.org, Daniel Golden's top 10 fiction/1 memoir from 2018. Check it out there.